Today let us discuss the Inav Akdamis. Shavuos is famous, one of the minhagim, old minhag goes back
only a few hundred years,
possibly even 1,000 years.
Really?
Yep. Most of our minhagim time, yes, from the time of Rashi, yes. It was a little bit before Rashi. Rashi quotes the Mechaber of the Akdamis, Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, yes. Akdamis, there's a legend. The legend is recorded in different Sfarim. I do not know the details of the legend, but it goes something like this. There was a city that was on the other side of the, what's the name of the river?
The
Sabbatyon, right. Sabbatyon. It was inhabited by the remnants of the Aseres HaShvatim. This appears to have been, the story appears to have taken place in the beginning of the 11th century. In the very beginning of the 11th century, maybe a little bit earlier, but about that point in time, about the year 1000, correct? There was some community, and there was a priest, a koimer, a very, very wicked priest. They say that he had very dark colored skin, and that's the legend, and he was a magician, and he was an incredible expert in the koichos of sorcery and magic, black magic, the real thing. We're not talking over here. He was the real deal. The real deal, a real magician, sorcerer, and I don't know his name. They have the details. Everything I'm telling you is coming from the Sefer Mo'adim L'Simcha and the Chelik of Chodesh Sivan. Fantastic Sefer, set of six, seven Svarim. It's a set, maybe more even. And there's a very, very short but very, very great, good chapter on the topic of Akdamis. And he has here a section of the entire story in great detail. I'll just glance through it very, very quickly. The name of the Sefer, who of the Sefer?
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the Mechaber. Mo'adim L'Simcha. The name of this is Mo'adim L'Simcha. And he says, he quotes all the sources of the story, and there was a priest, and the priest, he was very happy that there was a Jew that converted to, Christianity. He left the fold, and he became a student, and he started learning magic, and he was going to use it, obviously, to bring harm to Acheinu B'nai Yisrael. And at some point in time, the Jew realized how terrible it was what he was doing. And he decided he wants out. And this priest was very hurt that his prized student, who he invested effort and he taught over many secrets, is going to abandon him. Because, the reason was because basically this Jew, all of these things involve doing the worst averus. When a person gets involved in magic, you have to lower yourself to the biggest sins in order to bring certain powers of tumah upon yourself in order to accomplish certain things. So this priest was very, very hurt and upset that his student was chozer b'shuva and left him and went back to Yadav. So he wanted basically to take revenge. And he did. He took revenge, and he used his powers of magic it says there's 663 people he killed with magic. He would touch them, and he would put a spell upon them, and they would go home, and they would die. All these strange things happened, and the Jewish people of this community, wherever it was, on the other side of the Sabbatyon, they found themselves in great peril, great danger, and they went to the Caesar. To the Caesar. Who was the Caesar? I don't know exactly. This is the Roman Caesar. I'm not exactly clear who this was. The head of government in this locale. And they told him the problem. I don't know. Suddenly one thing led to another. And he approached the Caesar, approached the priest. And he told the priest, what are you doing? I didn't do anything to them. I just shook their hands and they died. So the Caesar told, you know what, let's have a debate between Christianity, or I don't know, Christianity, whatever religion it was, and Yadus, and whoever will win. And if they were Muslims, yeah, Muslims.
Well, in that time,
They were both. I mean, that was the time of the Crusades, so there was great fights. And then, whatever it was, and we'll have a debate. Whoever won the debate, they will prevail, and the others will be servants to the other. And when the Comer, the priest, left, the Caesar confessed to the Jews, "I'm really on your side, but I'm afraid of him. The same way he'll kill you, he'll kill me and my family. And I don't know what to do with this guy. This guy is out of control. He's a Meshugana. And I really don't know what to do with it. And this is the best I can do. I was able to stall to give you a year to prepare for this debate. That's the best I can do. At least I got it. He agreed now. He swore to me he won't do any harm, at least for 1 year, until you have this debate. And in the meantime, do something." So the Jews did not know what to do. They had a girl among themselves. The person, his name was Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur. And Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, he went across the Sambaton, whatever you call that river.
Sambation.
He went across this river, this mysterious, magical river, which only rests on Shabbos. That's the legend. We don't know what this means, that this river, when during the weekday, it's ferocious. It's pikuach nefesh to travel across, but on Shabbos it rests. It involves chilul Shabbos. Not so simple here. It involves chilul Shabbos to travel across this river in order to go seek help from Achenu Beis Yisrael living in the more civilized part of the world for help. So he went, and they told him what was going on. They retrieved the person's name was Rabbi Dun. Rabbi Dun came to their rescue, and there was a debate, and there was shamos and miracles. This part of the story where they got a little bit lost. There was some debate, and in the debate there were nisim, there were miracles, and there was salvation, and the Klal Yisrael survived, and they were able to kill this koimer. And Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, who was the one that represented this community on the other side of this river, out of Shevach V'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being surviving this horrible ordeal at this time, composed this piyut as Shevach V'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He then sent Shluchim to the entire world, do us a toiva and accept it, participate in our Shevach V'Hoidah, and say it on Yom Tov, or say it at some point in time. And this is the biggest miracle. It was accepted. Today, try to pull this off today. Try to compose and appear today and go send it to the whole Klal Yisrael. They'll laugh you out. We're going to go to accept this.
History of the Jewish people.
It was written as a
poetry
to give Shevach V'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for surviving this debate between the Koimer and Rabbi Dun. Rabbi Dun represented the Jewish people, and the one that was the representative, the organizer of this entire thing was Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur. And he wrote it. No, that's one of the big mysteries. It's not the language of the time. The language of the time was not Aramaic. Aramaic definitely was not a popular language at the time. And it was written in Aramaic, and that's a very big mystery why it was written in Aramaic, because the people really did not know Aramaic at that time. That we'll get to in one moment. The basic story. Now, there are many variations of the story, and a lot of embellishments, and they probably made the story into a novel, into a movie, and to who knows what. But that's the basic idea of the story. There was a sakana on the other side of this river. They sent a Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, sent a representative to retrieve someone that can engage the Comer in a debate. There was a debate, and the Jewish people prevailed in the debate through unusual siyata d'shmaya, and as a hakara of the miracle, Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur composed a beautiful piyut akdamis to give shevach v'hoidah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sent shluchim to the entire Jewish world. Please take this piyut that we've written to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say it at some point on time, whenever you want to say it. And somehow it was incorporated into Shavuos, because it happened. It seemed like it happened at that time of the year, whatever it was. And they did indeed accept it. That's the basic gist of the Makar for Hagdamas. Now, that Hagdama, let's discuss a whole number of interesting things. A lot of things I'm telling you I never knew, that I don't know anything, but these, I think, are things that not that interesting little ideas that are not commonly known. And the first thing, let me find where it is in the Siddur, Hagdamas for, where is it here in the Siddur? 714, yeah. L'shvus, say the parshas.
at the Pesach thing, that's yours.
I don't know, it was hard time finding him. I don't know where it is. How could that be?
The brown one? Which one do you have? The brown one?
What? I have the brown one.
714.
This one?
No, not that one.
No.
350?
350.
350. I'll give you this one. No, not on this one. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, the first thing is to note that the first half of Agdamas is written in the letters of the Aleph Beis. Right? Aleph Beis, you have two lines. It's a double, it's really a double Aleph Beis. Agdamas Ilvisha Royus Shusa, Avla Shakilna Harmo Harmonu Shusa, that's what the Shliach Tzibur says. And then the people respond with the next line, Bavave Treus Los, Devdel Shusa. Now, each line is written in a double Aleph Beis. Okay, the Aleph Beis obviously is Devchoshah, because Aleph Beis, we know from the Kinos, we know from the Piyutim, we know from different Mizmorim Tehillim, that Aleph Beis is Koilel, incorporates Kol HaTarakula, the Aleph Ad Tof, from beginning to end. Every line ends with Tof Aleph, that's part of the beauty of the Akdamas. Tof means we go from the end, we go wrap around to the beginning, just like on, what are we looking for?
Sitter
is over there. Just like that book is. Just like on Simchas Torah, we make a sim, you go back from the end to the beginning. That's exactly what we're doing. We're going from Tav to Aleph, so we have both Milas. Aleph, see, it's a going forward and going backwards. It's very complex. Because most kinos, both piyutim, either go forward or go backwards. They have a certain system. Here we're going forwards. Aleph Beis, for the first half of the piyut, we go forward. The beginning of the piyut is the letters of the Aleph Beis. And then the end of each sentence is Tof Aleph going backwards. That's the style of the piyut. Now, when you get halfway through the piyut, when you get to the end of the Aleph Beis, after Tof, you have to now know the Simen. This is fascinating. He signed his name. Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur signed his name after you get through all the letters of the Aleph Beis. And the way he signed his name is... One second, make sure I get this right. Meir... Here it is. See, it's halfway through. Minon umon hu rechimach shapira birevasa arum begine sofis medor aryevasa. So, starting with the mem, if you look at the first letters of each line, it spells mayor, beer. There's a very unusual word for ben, so that we're not familiar with. We are familiar with ben or bar. It's very common in Eretz Yisrael, they use bar. America, on Matzevus, they write ben. In Eretz Yisrael, if you look at the Matzevus, they write bar. That's the style of writing in Eretz Yisrael. Bar. What?
Aramaic.
But the Matzevus are written in Hebrew in Eretz Yisrael. And even though they're written in Hebrew, for some reason, it's just very popular, bar. Bays with an apostrophe raised. Okay, the bar. But here it's beer. Okay, I don't know exactly where this comes from. Beis Yudresh. It's a whole new nusach. Beer, Meir, beer, Rebbe, Yitzchak. And then you keep it going further. If you go through the entire acronym, Meir, beer, Rebbe, Yitzchak, Yigdal, or Yigadel, Betoira, Uvema'asim, Tovim, Omein, Chazak, Viemotz. Very interesting. That's how he signed. This was the style in ancient times. When you write a piyut, you must sign your name in some shape and form in the piyut.
And to remember,
it was all done in memory. They memorized it.
Because they didn't have Siddur.
So they memorized it.
Easy way to memorize
it. Just having your name.
Thoughts, and then the name of the author.
Okay. But it's a very long signature. Most of the signatures of the people that we have, you just barely have the name. Rabbi Yehuda Klenimus HaKatan. But they have over here such a long nusach, Meir. So it's interesting to keep track, keep you awake when you daven. Meir, beer, Rabbi Yitzchak. Meir, the son of Rabbi Yitzchak. Yigadel, may he grow up. Batoira uvimaasim tovim, omein chazak viemots. Fascinating. That's a very unique signature. I never knew this. The signature of how it signs off. I always took note that it went to the Aleph base, but I always stood after the Aleph base. Just some random letters to make this. But it's not more than it's a very complex signature. Now, what's important to note is that Rabbi Yitzchak, his son, his father's name was Yitzchak, but he had a son. This mayor, he was known as Mayor Shliach Tzibur. That's what he was known at the time. Rashi often quotes him in his Perish and Tanakh. I'm not sure Rashi quotes him in the Gemara, but Rashi quotes him a number of times in his Perish in Tanakh, in Nevim, not in the Chumash, but in Nevim and Ksuvim, he's mentioned, and he refers to him, the Baal, Mechaber of the Piyot of Akdamos. And this, why does Rashi? Because Rashi, he lived almost in the same time. Rashi lived the end of the 11th century, the beginning of the 12th century, and this person, Meir Shliach Tzibur, lived a generation before Rashi. Now, he signs in Meir Bar Yitzchak. He had a son, Meir Shliach Tzibur, whose name was Yitzchak. He named him after his father. Or maybe his father was alive. The Sfaradim, they named their children after living parents. Could be his father was alive. But he also had a son, his name was Yitzchak, and we know from the Kinos, we know from historical records, that his son Yitzchak was killed in the First Crusade. So the First Crusade took place in 1096, and one of the martyrs was Yitzchak ben Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur. And if his name was Yitzchak L'chor, that means he was named after his grandfather, because his grandfather was Meir Bir Rabbi Yitzchak. It's an historical fact. You get definitely a sense of the times that it was written. We can relate to it. It's not something which is like so far removed from us. We know much about the Crusades. We study the Crusades on Tisha B'Av. We have a lot of the Goyim are fascinated with the Crusades. There are many movies that have been made about the Crusades, so we know a lot about the later Crusades. Richard the Lionheart, that was really the later, the third Crusade, but we know about the Crusades, and we can relate that also the Mepharshim explaining, it says in the Magen Simcha that a lot of the debate that took place between that point of time was what led to the Crusades. The Crusades didn't just happen overnight. It was a unsettling feeling that was taking place in the world. There was to conquer, to go to war, to capture Yerushalayim. There were things that were happening in the world. This debate was bubbling. It showed that people of the time were on edge, were looking for trouble. And it exploded. I mean, it exploded 100 years later at the time of the Crusades. But it wasn't like, one day all of a sudden the Pope and the Emperor, they decided, okay, we're going to get together, we're going to go to march on Yerushalayim, we're going to march 3,000 miles and go make trouble. There was something going on in the world which was bubbling, which exploded into a whole period, 200 years of the Crusades. This was 100 years before and was really the beginning of what was happening in the world. Okay, now another important thing to mention is that it's the only piyut, it's a very holy piyut, and the proof is, it's the only piyut that we have to say when the Sefer Torah is mamish lying on the bima. You take out the Sefer Torah, you put it on the bima, and you say a piyut. You never do that. Piyut must said during davening, to have the Sefer Torah oimed b'fanav, it goes already to show that we're not dealing over here with a similar type of piyut.
You even call out the aliyah.
Oh, we didn't discuss exactly. You even call out the aliyah. We didn't discuss that in a few moments, right? You call out the aliyah, and you call the kohen. The kohen stands there, and then you begin the piyut before he actually makes the bracha, according to our custom. But such a type of piyut is very unique. You don't have it by any other piyutim. It's also unique in that it's responsive. Most piyutim, everyone says together. Here, the piyut was designed in a way where the shliach tzibur says one line, and we respond. That also shows its uniqueness. We mentioned the Saf and the Aleph. Next issue, it's written Lashon Arami, Aramaic. Why Aramaic? You can't tell me this comes from time of Chazal, because it doesn't. This is already 1,000 years after the Churban. It's already past the time when they stopped already saying Targum for the Kriya Satara. So why is it written in Targum? So the number of reasons given. One answer is because the Malachim should not understand it. Okay, that's a very common approach, that Aramaic is a language which the Malachim don't understand. It's so holy. The things that it says in Akdamas are so beautiful. They're so holy. And also, we don't want the Malachim to know because they'll get jealous. And we have to understand, this touched upon a very interesting issue, that Shavuos is a day where the Malachim are jealous of us. From all days of the year, they're very disturbed, the Malachim. Because Torah originally was in Shemayim. The Ba'alim on Torah were the Malachim. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to take the Torah, he took away their control. Torah la v'ashamayim. The Malachim are not happy. And they're always looking for excuses. Ribbono Shel Olam, we have kindness to you. You took away our Torah. You gave it to man. It's not right. And not that you can't share, but it means that the halacha is decided by man, not by the Malachim. They're on edge. And that touches upon the nature of Shavuos. You got to be very careful with the Malachim. Don't insult them. Don't hurt their feelings. Because today is a sensitive day for them. Not Rosh Hashanah, not Yom Kippur, not Simchas Torah. Shavuos. You got to be good to the Malachim. Don't insult them. Because they are in pain that we took away their Torah. Malachim, the only language they do not know is Aramaic. Why Aramaic? That's another shmooze, another topic. They don't know Aramaic. They're not interested in Aramaic. It's a code that was not built into their DNA. For some reason, they don't know understand Aramaic. So we bedafka write Aramaic. They should not understand what we're saying, so they should not get upset. We shouldn't irritate them and be mekatrek that the Jews really don't deserve the Torah. That's one approach. Another approach, something which is fascinating, this is historically correct, that in Varmiza, Worms, one of the cities that was affected most by the First Crusade, Varmiza. In Worms, they don't say, I don't know they do today, probably don't, I'm sure they don't do today, they don't say Akdamas and Shavuos. They don't. The minhag is Bidavka, no way, not in Varmiza. Why? There are different legends. One legend has it that the Shliach Tzibur, he said Akdamas with such kavana, with such kedusha, after he finished saying it, he died. He died on the spot. And they attribute it, and it was attributed, it was understood by the Gedolim, is that he said it with such Kedusha, Taviyachal, his neshama left him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his neshama. So it was decided from then on, they're not going to say Akdamas in the Varmiza because it's just too holy, and if you study it and you appreciate its significance, chas v'shalom, a person can lose his neshama, he can die from the holiness of Akdamas. That's one reason given why they don't say it in Varmiza. Many places can reject that. They say that's ridiculous. So they go, okay, this Shliach Tzibur, he got a little carried away. Okay, fine. But the average person, you need not worry. When was the last time you saw a person get swept up to heaven saying Akdamas? It's not going to happen to the average person. And the reason fasting is because we don't want the goyim to hear what we're saying. In Varmiza, they have electronic books on the doors.
They didn't understand the language.
Oh. What do you mean they didn't understand? They didn't understand the language. The goyim didn't understand. We understand it with difficulty.
Okay.
With difficulty. So we know the Gemara, Aramaic. So we'll study, we'll figure out. And we'll know what we're saying. Well, the goyim, they come to shul. They were guards at the door. What are these Jews doing now? So they already know the whole routine. They know the Shema. They know the Kriyas HaTorah. And then you did church some people. But they wasn't Kedai. It was only a one-time event. They did this. They made a piyot. And they heard them mumbling these things. And they had no clue what they were saying. We knew what we were saying. And the reason, because it says to that Hashem, the reason is very sensitive, because it says Hashem gave us the Torah and rejected the Goyim. There's a whole section here that the Goyim, they're good for nothing, they didn't get it, they didn't want it, they're no good, they've been rejected. If the Goyim would hear that, it would be a sakana. So that's bedafka why it was written in Aramaic. But unfortunately, like you said, they were very curious in the Varmiza. The Goyim got word, and they did send in experts to translate it, and they heard what was being said, and they came with a sakana. So it was decided in the best interest of the Jews of Varmiza, we're not going to say Akdamas.
According to our scroll, this Rabbi Meir ben Yitzchak was from Worms.
Later, he emigrated to Worms after this Maisa of... what did it say? He was somewhere. What happened? Well, he went... He was some Worms.
That he was born there, or that he...
It doesn't say. It just says, composed by Rabbi Meir ben Yitzchak, 11th century Worms.
Maybe later he emigrated to Worms, after the story with the Comer. Okay, there are different versions of the story.
Of course, that's one of the three places where the massacre, the saints took place, where the kinos.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but it was not said Ivami, so that is a very interesting idea. It tells us Bedafka why? Because of the Goyim. Now, another very unique feature about Avdamus, and this has to be studied, I have to speak to experts, it's very curious to hear what they say. Where does the Nigun come from? It's an old Nigun. It's a beautiful Nigun. Rabbi Mayaski was singing it for us a moment ago. Where does this Nigun come from? It's not known. It appears to be an ancient Nigun, and it's all part of the mystique. They didn't just compose Akdamus, they composed the Nigun with Akdamus. When else do we say this Nigun, sing this Nigun? And that's six volumes on Simchas Torah. The Rishus, Merishus is done with the same Nigun on Simchas Torah. That also says something very interesting. We connect ourselves, Simchas Torah and Shavuos are both connected with this concept of the Rishus. Now, it's the Hasidim, I saw this shocking what it says in Moadim L'Simcha in the footnote, that by the Hasidim, the Minik, certain Hasidim, they have a custom, I don't know which groups, they sing this Nigun when they get an Aliyah during the Shloisha Simei Hagbala. Some even go further during the entire Sfira, between Pesach and Shavuos. Every time a person gets an Aliyah, I'm not sure if it's on Dom during the week or on Shabbos, it is the Minig among certain groups. The Nigun for the Aliyah is with the Nigun of Akdamas, the Chavivas, to anticipate the receiving of the Torah. Yeah. That's a very interesting idea which you don't see among us. Okay, now this is something very, very interesting. I want to quote with you a Gemara. This opens up a very interesting idea. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. He's the Gemara Amar the Amar Rabba Bar Machasya Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria Amar Rav. A lot of names. Im Yiyu Kol Hayamim Diyoy. If all of the seas, think of all the oceans and the seas of the world, would be ink. V'agomim kulmosim. All of the swamps would be reeds, would be kulmosim, would be, take all those reeds, you can use them as feathers, as quills. V'shamayim yiriyos. And if the heavens would all be parchment, v'chol b'nei adam lav lorin, everyone would be skilled to be a scribe. Ein mas speaking, it would not be enough, all that ink, all those quills, all that parchment, all those scribes, lichtoiv, to write, to put into writing, chalala, the inside, the secrets, the conspiracies, the maneuverings, all of the details, the intricate details, shel rishus. What does that mean? Shel rishus, Rashi. What does it mean, shel rishus? Give me a half a second to find the Rashi. I'm not too good at this. Chalala shel rishus, Rashi. Oimek libam, the depth of their heart, shehut sarich liyos loylev lekama medinois, lemas hakotzov, ulekama milchomois, ulekama mishpatim, v'akol b'yoymechon, on one day. In other words, Rashi says Rishus means government, secular government. If you want to write about politics, basically if you want to write about the complexities of politics, if all the seas would be ink, all the reeds will be quills, the heavens parchment, you cannot write enough about politics. Why? Rashi is because they have to deal with many countries, figure out how to collect taxes, how to conduct war, and to legislate laws, and everything has to be done on one day. Ask the President of the United States, I'm sure he will appreciate this Rashi more than any of us. What Rashi means, chalala shel rishus. Now what's shocking is that in the Akdamus we actually use these exact same expressions in praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let me read. Gevil ilu rikieh. Okay, I'm reading you the very beginning. This is the letter Gimel, the very beginning. If the Gevil, if the heavens would be parchment, kinei kol churshosa, if the forests, same idea, the swampy lands would be quills, diyoy ilu yame, v'chol minei chinishu. So if ink would be the season, all gatherings, bodies of water, diyore aros sofre, and the dwellers of the world would be scribes, v'roshmei rashvasa, and they would write down, they would attempt to put into writing all of the ideas, hadar More Shemaya v'shalit. It says the v'loy. I left out the beginning where it says that if they do all this, givurin olmen lei v'los sipek pirishusa. We would not be able, by doing all this, we would not be able to express the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the kind, you have to study better. I'm not clear on the translation of all the words, I didn't prepare. But the basic idea is the Mechaber, Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, we have to remember, lived before Rashi, appears to have disagreed with Rashi. Rashi, if I teach this Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph, now this is a Gemara. Rashi came about 100 years after Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, and Rashi told us Chalal Shel Rishus means Malchus, secular government. You can't put into writing all of the details in the Machshav secular government. Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, who lived before Rashi, Fataych the Gemara Rishus means to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rishus. He is, how do you translate the word Rishus then? He is the authority of the world. It's a reference, to the, you cannot express the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in one moment to keep this world in order. Not like Rashi learns a reference to secular government, but reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So it's very interesting that you take a piyut, and from a piyut, and there's a classic example, there are many examples like this, but this is a really good example because this really is the beginning of Akdamah, so everyone is reading this, is where you see from the Paitonim who lived even before Rashi. Many Paitonim lived after Rashi. Many Paitonim that we have, the Kalir, no one even knows, the Kalir is a big, big mystery. When did he live? Who was he? But Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, we know for a fact, lived before Rashi. Rashi also quotes the Kalir. But the Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, we know we have a more defined period of time when he lived, and we know where he lived, and we know about his son. And he appears to take the same Gemara and Fataych is Rishus to mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his world. And it's an interesting Taych because he's calling the world the Rishus, the authority. Yeah. Oh, so you're coming to that word Rishus. Oh, so another idea. You're coming. Oh. Exactly, I want to call it fascinating. So we're playing now with the word Rishus. Look what we're doing over here. We're taking the word over here, Rishus, in reference to the Rishus Rashi. I think most people learn this Gemara means Rishus, secular government. Along comes Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, and he tells Rishus means, no, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authority, his authority of this world. And what do we use the same nigun for? We use it for what we call the Rishus, Ramayevsky just mentioned, on Simchas Torah. We sing the same nigud. We call in the Piyut, we borrow from the Piyut. When we ask permission from the Tzibur, from Klal Yisrael, from the Sanhedrin, all the beautiful expressions, to be Messiah in the Torah, to begin the Torah. Another translation for Rishus. Rishus also means permission. And what else do we have? Let's go to the first word, the very beginning of Akdamas. Akdamas means in our first words, Visha Rayushusa. Avla Shakilna, the first thing I want to do before I do anything else is, I will first take Harmon Urishusa, authority and permission. Two different words. Before I get up to do anything, I want to ask permission from the Torah, from the Tziv, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is called a Rishus. The whole, and then right away he goes in to describe the Rishus Shel Olam. So there's a play with this concept of Rishus, a reoccurring theme. And that's one of the important points, which is very important why we're doing this, we're receiving the Torah, every single day in davening we say about the Malachim, we imitate the Malachim, and this unfortunately we totally overlooked this many times, V'chula mekam aleim ol malchus shemayim zeh mizeh, v'noisnim Rishus zeh lo zeh. Lahakdish liyos in the Malachim, before they go and they say Kadosh, 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 they ask each other permission. Why do you ask permission? It's derech eretz. How when you go, you give a drasha in front of a tzibur, what do you first say? Bereshus harav, bereshus avimari. You have to ask permission, it's derech eretz. What is Shavuos? Torah. What comes before Torah? Derech eretz, kadma l'Torah. We live in the dar. Mashiach, Chazal say, it's the Mashiach chutzpah yaske. What's the essence of chutzpah? I don't need your permission. I don't want your permission. I'll do it the way I want. There's a lack of order, a lack of hierarchy, a lack of seder. That's a plague of ikvasa de mashicha. The beginning of Kabbalah Satar of Shavuos is Rishus. Der Cheretz Kadma Lutara. Akdamas, the whole lesson of Akdamas is Rishus. So what are we doing here? We are playing around with Rishus in an incredible way. We're about to begin the Torah. B'chodesh Hashlish, before we even begin the Torah, the Erishta Zach is Avla Shakilna Harman and Rishus. And what's the first thing the Baal Pia takes from? He takes from the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph. He says Gavilu Rikiyei Yevshur to write the Chalol Shel Rishus. And he takes that same word Rishus and he says it means Rishus. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the Baal Boss in this world, which Rashi says refers to the government. But I don't know the depth of what this means, but there is a very, very strong emphasis on the concept of Rishus. Rishus is a term that's used to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control of the world. It's a term that's used to define the secular Malchus, Malchus Soda'ara, Kei Malchus Terekia, its Shlita on the world. And Rishus is a term that means permission. The Malachim ask Rishus. Rishus is synonymous with Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. What we're doing before we actually read the Akdamas, we have to acknowledge that there's Rishus. Okay, let me tell you very quickly to a few last points. When do we say Akdamas? When do we react Akdamas? So what is the common minig among us? The minig among us is we do Akdamas after you take out the sefer. So you put the sefer on the table before the kohen makes the bracha. You call the kohen, the azar of Yagain, you call him up, and after you call him up before he makes the bracha, so you say Akdamas. That's not the original minig. Why not? You don't want to be hefsek in this bracha. The original, that's definitely not the original way it was done. The original way it was done was you lay in the first pasuk. You made the bracha, makes the bracha, and you lay in the first pasuk, and after the first pasuk, then do Akdamas. What? Like Yitzip Piskam in the Haftarah. Excellent, right, exactly. Yitzip Piskam in the Haftarah. Yitzip Piskam. The second day of the Haftarah, Yitzip Piskam is a parallel. Yitzip Piskam the second day of the Haftarah, there's a little song you sing, a piece you sing before you do the Haftarah. But the original way the meaning was done without any question was after the first pasuk. So why was it done like that? So this also touched upon a very beautiful idea. The reason in ancient times there was a meturgeman. And the meturgeman, they would read a pasuk, and then there would be a person that would translate the pasuk. We don't do this anymore. Why don't we do this anymore? Because we don't anyway know the Targum. We're not making Targum. So it was already bottled. It was bottled already 1,000 years ago. In the time of the Rishonim, it was bottled, this Minach. However, this is a form of Targum. Because we do translate the first Pasuk. Bachodesh, in the Akdamas, we do mention the third month. Bachodesh Hashlishi, one little section does translate the Pasuk that was read. It does. So this long Akdamas was the translator's introduction to translating the first pasuk. So basically, the entire Akdamas is the translation of the first pasuk. What?
I'm just thinking.
Yeah, okay.
Above it, Reisus Slas. That's
by Yom Hazeh, Bo Midbar Sinai. The whole Akdamas is a translation of the first pasuk with a little bit of an introduction, a little bit of embellishment. So what we're doing on Simchas, what we're doing on Shavuos is we are preserving the ancient minhag of having a meturgeman. And a meturgeman, what?
We're not saying the pasuk.
Right, we don't do it anymore because we've fallen even from that. But if you started the Yom of Shavuos, the entire Yom from beginning to end, literally from beginning to end, is all about minhag Yisrael. Everything revolves around minhag. And one of the ancient minhagim of studying Torah was to have a meturgeman. You read a pasuk, and then there's a translator. This was a minhag. It's bottled. We don't do this. But at least a token fulfillment of the minhag we do on Shavuos, when ideally you say one pasuk, and right away you have the meturgeman who translates the entire pasuk. Now, why don't we do this Bizman Hazeh? It's not clear why. It's not a hefsek. Now, if it's a hefsek, is it really a hefsek? Not really, because it's all for the purpose of the Torah. And You've already read one part. Like, eat, make hamotzi lechem aretz, eat a piece of bread. It's no longer a hefsek if you talk. Once you've read one pasuk, okay. But then the minig is, why don't we do it after three psukim? So that'll be a bigger hefsek, because once you learn three psukim, you're already mechuyev to make the bracha acharoina, the second bracha. But it will only in one pasuk, you're still in the middle, so it's not called a hefsek. We, for whatever reason, do not follow this minig. Now, why don't we say it on the second day? Sake of the Yom, how come we don't say Akdamas on the second day? Similar, very similar question. Because the second day we don't lay in the Torah. The last line of Akdamas is Mosar Lon Oirais. It's all the Hakdama to giving of the Torah. It's all the theme of Akdamas about the Torah. So the first day the laying is Aseres Hadibros. It's a theme of Torah. So we say the only instruction, the theme of Torah. It's also, I don't know, I'm not clear with this, but if you study the words, each line supposedly has 10 syllables. I try to figure this out. Some of them I'm able to figure out, but some of them, I don't know, I can't seem to get it. But each line of Akdamas has 10 syllables. That's part of the beauty of Akdamas, to correspond to the Aseres Hadibros. Okay, the Svardim do not say Akdamas. Why not? I do not know. Some say, now this is a very cute thing, the Shagas Aryeh, this is a very cute little yidi, the Shagas Aryeh, he came to a town, he became the new Rav of Mitz. I don't know what that is.
Metz.
He was Rav of Metz. And when he came there, the minhag was, they would say Akdamas after the first pasuk. They started Akdamas, the first pasuk, and then they said Akdamas. So the Shagas Aryeh, I'm the new Rav in town, I'm the boss, we're going to change the minhag. We're going to change the minhag. We're not going to do this anymore. We're going to say Akdamas like we do today in 2013. Tashanayim Gimel, we're going to do it. We're going to call up the Kohen, and before Akdamas, and then we'll lane. So the Balabatim said, Rabbi, no, we're not. We're going to do it the way we did it last year, and the way we did it the year before. And don't come here and tell us what to do. We didn't hire you as the rabbi. And it was a... there was a conflict. There was a machlekes, and the Balabatim won. The Balabatim prevailed upon the Shagas Aryeh, and they continued to lay in Metz. Go there today, see what they do there today. I'm sure there must be some Jewish community there somewhere. And they did there. Nothing, zero? There's nothing there? All that is, they don't. So whatever they he prevailed. They prevailed upon him. They continued doing it the old way. So Shagas Aryeh said, "This is sharp." He says, "Halavai, my Balabatim should be mekayim what it says in the Aseres Hadibros with the same degree of passion that the mekayim the minhag of saying Akdamas after the first. This they're passionate about. But when it comes to Lesirtzach, Lesignav, Letinov, that's so important. So this is something which it's a good line. Okay. One other quick thing is that the Akdamas, you have to look what they do in shuls, different shuls. Akdamas was originally part of the Targum, the Meturgamon. Again, if you go to the Kaisel, look around on Shabbos, you'll find the minyan of Teimonim where they still today have a Meturgamon. You have the Baal Koire, the one who lanes, and a Meturgamon, the one who reads the Targum. It takes a very long time to create a Torah.
The Teimonim still have a Meturgamon?
I believe so. Some of them. They have. The halacha is the one who is the Baal Koire, they lay in a Pasuk.
1-3.
1-3 Pasukim, yeah? They lay in a Pasuk and they have a Meturgamon. So here's the issue. The halacha is that the Meturgamon may not be the Baal Koire. The one who is delaying, the one who is laying the Torah is not allowed. Why? No one should say that the Targum is written in the Torah. Look over the next pasuk, could be. Easy job, huh? So, here is the problem. You go to some shuls, very interesting. Some places have a minog. I don't know how common this is, where the one that will be the Baal Koire is not the one that's going to say Akdamas. Even though today we don't do it. Today we say the Akdamas first, and then we lane. 99% of the shuls do not say, as far as I know, do not say Akdamas in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. But being that the Akdamas comes from being the Meturgamon, and the Meturgamon is not allowed to be the Baal Korei, so some preserve this minug, and they're makbid that the one that's the Baal Korei should not be the one that says Akdamas. That's not common. In most shuls, the one that's the Baal Korei is the one that reads the Akdamas. Why? So they'll tell you it's because since Bizman Hazer, the minig has changed, and we say Akdamas first, and the Sefer Torah is always covered, so no one's going to make a mistake and say that it's written in the Torah Sefer. There's no problem Bizman Hazer, but it is such a minig, and you see where it comes from. It comes from the original source of Akdamas. Okay, this is a little bit of a gist, a little bit of appreciation. It's a very holy piyut. It's kedai to say with a lot of kavana. And we'll leave it with that. Yeah. Have a wonderful day. Tomorrow, Friday schedule. Which we're just doing two things. We'll do Divrei Hayamim, and then we'll do Shavuos, and Yanei Shavuos. Yeah.